This morning, for a devotion, I'll just be reading one verse, 1 John 4, verse 18. And I'll start by reading that. 1 John 4, verse 18. In which John writes, "There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear has torment. He that fears is not made perfect in love." John is quite direct here, and in this entire chapter, he speaks of how God is love, and we who are born again are in Christ, and so we are to be filled with his love and not filled with fear. Last fall, at the beginning of the school year, I had met Principal Barkman. Well, I had spoken to him actually on phone and met him later. But I had said to him that if they ever needed chapel speakers, you can by all means call me. I know that Pastor Arnold had done that. And to speak at MCI when I was a student, there's no chance I would have done that. And I certainly never ever thought I would ever do that. That would have been the last thing I would have ever wanted to do. I was fearful to even speak in a small group of people. But a week and a half ago, the principal emailed me and said that they had short notice, but they needed a chapel speaker for that Friday. And I said, yeah, I will go. And it's amazing the way God works, because just a few days before, I had been out walking in the evening, one of the nicer evenings we had then, and a couple of verses were going through my mind, Romans 12, 1 and 2, to present your body a living sacrifice and not to conform to this world, but be transformed through the renewing of your mind. Those verses were going through, and I thought that would be a good message to share if I ever got the opportunity to speak at a chapel. And that's the way the Lord works. So I had to say yes, because he had prepared me, and I knew God would go before me, that it was the Holy Spirit that would do the work, and that I would have the prayers of many, and I was just simply a person showing up, as it were. I was the vessel to be used for that day. And David shared at ministerial meeting this last week the verse 1 Peter 3:15, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear." We're to always be prepared to give that answer, and it's always with meekness and fear. And that's the same words that Jude uses in the book of Jude in 22 and 23, to when he's talking about how God will save people through the words that are spoken. We're supposed to do it with compassion and fear. And the fear is talking about reverence to God. It is a holy fear. And so I had gone to MCI, and it went quite well, I think, by my point of view. I think hopefully they enjoyed the chapel as well. And we have to commit to trusting in God and in the Lord to lead us in those things, because our fleshly fear, and I'm speaking of myself, would certainly prevent us from doing it if we allowed it to take root or to listen to it. See, in this world we have, there's fleshly fear, that is fear of the world, fear of what people may think of us, fear of Satan or man, fear that we may be ridiculed or persecuted, fear that we might, appear different or not be in with the crowd, and we cave to societal pressures then. This fear is actually speaking of faith. It's a faithlessness. And then there is spiritual fear. That is fear of God. It is a good fear. It is reverence, honor, and respect for the Almighty. This is to be faithful. Too often we fall short, and I'm speaking of myself once again, because of fleshly fear. This is sin, as God has pronounced it. "For we are called to be filled with the love of God, and there is no fear in love," as John wrote. To tell someone that biblical marriage is between a man and a woman, and that is the only definition that God gives, is an act of love to tell them that. To tell someone that there is no other way of salvation but through Jesus is an act of love. To tell them that there is, if we remain in our sins and do not come to the Lord, there is judgment in hell, is an act of love. Because by societal definitions, they aren't nice things to say. And yet it is the truth. It's the truth as God has declared. And to not tell the truth would not be an act of love. We have to allow God's perfect love to cast out the fear that people will put upon us or that we will feel from the world. But to not warn someone or to not disciple them in the truth, but to lie and say God accepts all as we are, would in fact be evil. It would be better to say nothing at all. And yet we as Christians are compelled, we are told that we need to say what God has declared. We are to take a stand and to tell the truth, to give an answer for the source of our hope, why we have hope in this life, and it's not in this world, but it's in a heavenly eternal life. We fear not death, for we are to fear God alone. And we are made known to him when we acknowledge and follow after him. Proverbs 9, verse 10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, knowledge, and understanding. In Ecclesiastes, we read that our created purpose is to fear God and to keep his commandments. And in Isaiah 11, verse 2, we read that one of the spirits of God is the fear of the Lord. So when we are born again and filled with God's Spirit, we must fear God, meaning we must love and respect his will. And if we long to be perfected in God's love, we should not fear the things of this world. In speaking to a number of elderly within our church over the last several weeks, I noticed that a number of them had asked if they thought that these were indeed the last days. And I certainly would agree with them in that they said that there are certain signs that are recurring. That of war seems to always increase, pestilence, earthquakes, and the general moral decay of the world, just as our Lord Jesus foretold. So when we hear of these new strains of viruses or of war that's breaking out around the world, especially in the Middle East, or that there's another earthquake, we shouldn't fear these things. We should certainly be concerned of those that are affected by them and who suffer and endure them. But even more, we should be concerned of their eternal destination for their souls. We need not fear the death of our bodies, for our souls are purchased by the blood of Christ. We are confident and should confidently face the trials of life with God's strength. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 4 and 5 says, "And such trust have we through Christ to Godward, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." See, I went to MCI and spoke to the words of God laid on my heart, not out of my sufficiency, for if it would have been, I certainly would have failed. If I would have been even managed to have gone, for fear could have prevented me from even doing that. But I knew my sufficiency came from God, for he would accomplish the work and gird me up with the prayers of many and the strength of his Holy Spirit. And there is great warning for the unsaved, as the Bible says, that those that are filled with fleshly fear rather than godly fear. In fact, in Revelation 21, verse 8, the first group of people listed which are excluded from the new heaven and earth and cast into that lake of fire are the fearful. Now, this isn't speaking of the minor phobias we may have, like spiders or heights, because I think we all have them, and I know I do, those two being fairly primary in my life. But this fearful literally means, or translates to faithless, those that have no faith. In those, it's those of no faith that do not have a relationship with God. And if they don't have a relationship with God, then how do they know him? How does God know them? In Matthew 8, just before Jesus calms the storm, he says in verse 26, to his disciples, why are you fearful, O you of little faith? See, his disciples, they had faith, but it was very, very minute, very small. And yet we know that it would grow over time through the strength of the Holy Spirit, when the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them, that their faith would grow greatly. So may we, in the day we live, not be fearful, but live boldly in the strength of the Lord. I'll allow our love to be perfected in him, and to share the hope, give an answer to the hope that we have, so that others would desire that and cherish that, and that the Holy Spirit would move within their hearts as well. May that be our ongoing encouragement to grow in the boldness of our Lord.